Good morning. If you're young or old enough to see Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon, okay, this is the Exit the Dragon. So we're going to talk about how Satan is defeated today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to come before you, Lord, on a rainy day like this. We can only think about your glory. You'll fill the earth when you come in the clouds with your angels in all your glory. Lord, help us in our defeated, sometimes our disappointed lives to see you as the Lord who reigns over all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at the first PowerPoint. Yeah. Today we're going to talk about the defeat of Satan. That is called the dragon or the serpent in the Bible. It's been said that Satan promises the best, but pays with the worst. He promises honor, but pays with disgrace. He promises pleasures, but pays with pain. He promises profit, but pays with loss. He promises life, and pays with death. And today we talk about how the Lord in all his glory will guarantee Satan's fall, even though at times in our lives we don't think he would fall, okay? But let's start with Revelation chapter 12. Revelation is separated. First part, we'll talk about war mainly on earth. But chapter 20, 12 onwards talks about war in heaven. And I finally figure out the structure, okay, of Revelation. Now, chapter 12, they will introduce the dragon. Okay, it will be an inverted structure. Chapter 13 will introduce the beast. Chapter 14 will be Babylon, the commercial city. And in between 15 to 17, there will be seven angels tooting the trumpets in order to talk about the final battle. And they're going to reverse it. Just now, Babylon is chapter 15, right? Now, chapter 18 will be inverted. Babylon will be defeated first. And then, chapter 19, the beast and the false prophet were taken in capture. And now, the enemy of all enemies, the dragon, Satan, will be defeated in chapter 20. Okay. So, we talk about what is the world like with or without the devil? How is your obedience to God like with or without the devil? Okay? And why are believers, and you'll be surprised, it's not God who is the target of the devil. Believers, saints, are always his target. That's what we're going to talk about today. Chapter 20, the first point I want to make is that we fear the Almighty, not the adversary. The adversary is dragon, okay? Our enemy, Satan. We don't fear him. The person we most fear is our God Almighty. Always remember that. When you feel that the devil is stalking you, remember we are to fear God and not Satan. Let's read verses 1 through verses 6. 1 through 6. Okay, we're going to do it the... Can you guys see it? Okay, we're going to do it the old-fashioned way. The guys start verse 1, 3, 5, and the ladies 2, 4, 6. Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. Thank you. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Now you look at verse 4, the word thrones happened quite a lot in the whole chapter, in chapter 20, okay? There will be a lot of thrones in chapter 20. Now let's talk about thrones. Do you know who was coronated recently in May? King Charles, by the way. A 170 years event, okay? And BBC estimated it cost like $50 to $100 million for that event. Now, I am no king watcher. I did not watch the ceremony. But for the first time, I was attracted by the songs they sing. Do you know they posted the list on Spotify? And I sampled this 26 songs. But I'm not a classic guy, okay? There's music from Andrew Lloyd Webber, dun, 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 the guy, okay? And that's Greek Orthodox music. Why? Because Prince Philip was the prince of Greek, okay? And there were 16th and 17th century British composers. Okay, not only that, there were traditional anthems, there were coronation anthems, and best of all, there were hymns. There were choirs, and there were soloists, okay? And I don't know you, my favorite that was sang on our wedding was there. The song, Be Thou My Vision. Isn't that amazing? For the king, okay? And I learned a new song, okay? A classic called Zadok the Priest. Have you guys heard that? It's Zadok the Priest. It's a beautiful coronation anthem that was played in the 17th century. And so coronation is a big thing. And in verse 4, the word throne appears, okay? The word throne in the Greek is thronos, which is throne, where you get the English word, occurs 62 times in the Bible. But 47 of those 62 times are in the book of Revelation. And in chapter 20 itself, 3 times, in verse 4, verse 11, and verse 12, okay? And the difference is that verse 4, the saints were offered a seat on the throne. Verse 11, the one who's occupying the throne. And verse 12, those who are standing before the throne. So I hope you get a seat. Well, don't be the one who's standing before the throne, okay? Faithful believers will be placed on the throne, verse 4. However, it won't be, you have to wait longer because Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, okay? And the verb in verse 2 is called seize, okay? An angel came down and seized the dragon. Now, seize is a popular English word. It's called kratio, it's K-R-A-T-O, where you have democrat, autocrat, okay, all those crat words, like democracy, bureaucrat, okay? So this is the same word in the noun, in the verb form. Crat means to obtain, okay? To detain is the crat word, okay? And even to retain, okay? Obtain, okay? So an angel, God doesn't need a big army, just one angel to seize the dragon and bound him for 1,000 years. Why? In verse 3, it says, because the devil has a purpose on earth, which is always to deceive the nations. The word deceive or occurs 3 times in the chapter. If you go back, look at verse 3, verse 8, verse 10. The Satan's biggest thing is to deceive. And of course, is he going to deceive God? No. Who is the target? Saints. Okay. Satan doesn't need to deceive God. But all along, his target is you and I, people who belong to God. And what is to deceive? Okay, have you been deceived before? All of us have been deceived before, right? Hopefully the worst is not by people you love, okay? To deceive is to mislead, misguide someone, to misrepresent something so that you misplace your trust. And here in this sense is misplace your trust in Satan and not God. And the wonderful thing about verse chapter 20 answers a lot of questions. Do you know Satan never has a throne? Satan never has a crown. And Satan never has dominion, even though we are very scared of him. But that's why I start off, we should fear the Almighty and not the adversary. Okay? Satan, in the Bible, says, is the prince of the devils. He's the prince of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air. But he's never king of anything. Okay? He's not the king of glory, who is our Lord. He's not the king of all the earth. He's not the king of our saints. And he's not the Lord of lords and king of kings. These are all the names of God. So we should always fear the Almighty and not the adversary. And verse 4, the best of all, is that we will reign with him. Okay? The only repeated verb in this whole chapter is the verb reign. Okay? Verse 4, masters will reign with him for 1,000 years. We'll co-reign with him for 1,000 years. And chapter 20, verse 6, priests of God and Christ, we will reign with him. So, Satan never has a reign, never has a rule, he never has a regime. It's only you and I, martyrs, priests of God, who will reign with him. And so it means that, what does word reign? Even though you don't think you look like a person who's a leader, I'm not a leader, okay? But one day we will reign with Christ. What does reign means? We are supposed to order people around in the future, okay? We are supposed to be operate everything the Lord gave to us, and we are to oversee everything he's entrusted to us. It means we are to be the Lord's hands, to be helm his kingdom, okay? And even to herald his kingdom coming in, to head his kingdom when you are there, okay? That's what reign means. We'll be the hands, we'll be the helper, and we'll be the heir. We will inherit all the Lord has meant for us. And there you will be esteemed. Finally, you'll be empowered, and you will be exalted, be above the lowly living you have now. Okay? And verse 25 will tell us that, verse 4 and 6 tell us that we will reign as priests of God forever and ever. So, fear the Lord Almighty, not the adversary, because he has no reign, he has no crown, he has no throne. Only the Lord has it, and he will share it with us. Okay, the second point I want to make about is like, not only fear the Almighty, we have to fear the apathy. Okay, verse 7 to 10. Okay, the apathy means that you don't care. Okay, these people who don't care about God, he will join with Satan and his army. Okay, fear the apathy and not the attacks. Satan will always attack you. As long as you breathe, Satan will attack you. But we don't fear his attack. We just fear that people who do not live for Christ, who doesn't care one way or the other. Okay, let's read verses 7 to verses 10. Okay, this time we'll read together. 1, 2, 3. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning fire, so where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night, forever and ever. Next one, ding, 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 ding. I don't know if you guys have seen this movie. It's quite a movie, okay. Now, after seeing this movie, I had a lot of questions, okay. This talks about building of the atom bomb that was dropped on two Japanese cities, okay. I have two questions. Was dropping the bomb on 110,000 Japanese more evil than the people the Japanese killed in the World War? I had a lot of questions. Because the Americans in the movie struggled to drop the bomb or not. The Germans had surrendered, but not the Japanese. Should they drop the bomb? Eventually they did, but there was a struggle if they should have dropped the bomb at all. They killed 90% of the city of Hiroshima. So there are a lot of guilt. And second is that, was it racist to drop it on the Japanese? Because in the movie, you see of Germans and Russians interacting with the Americans. And they were like transferring people from scientists from one nation to one nation because they love exchanges. So they know each other very well. But it's really easy to drop a bomb so far away on people whose last names you don't even know how to pronounce. So was it a racist act, which I have to think about? Would it be easier to drop it on the Japanese? Would they drop it on the Germans if they did not surrender? So this is a question I had to answer. And third, if the Americans did not use it, would others find a way to manufacture it and use it? If the Americans didn't build a bomb, would other nations be so nice as not build a bomb and drop it on all the other countries? Would the Russians be the first to build a bomb, not drop it on anyone? Ukraine would be long gone, right? So these are all the questions I have to ask myself after the movie. But after reading Revelation 20, I have more questions. Why in the world did the Lord capture the dragon and let him live for 1,000 years and release him, even if for a short time? Have you ever imagined that? I couldn't answer that when I had to prepare this. So, I built a chart. I didn't build a bomb. There are a lot of contrasts within. There are a lot of contrasts within the next one. No chart. That's all. Oh, okay. Next one. Oh, never mind. Okay, I'll tell you what I did. I built a chart of contrasts, and look into your Bible. Okay, open up your. Now, this war is very, very, I hate to say it, but it's very beautifully written, okay? Because in verse 10, the contrast with the 1,000 years are over. It will contrast with the ending of the ending of the section, verse 10. 1,000 years are contrasted with the devil who will be thrown in the lake of fire day and night and forever and ever. 1,000 years contrasted with day and night and forever. That's a contrast. Verse 7, that Satan will be loosed out of his prison. It will be contrasted with the ending. Verse 10, he'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. From prison to fire and brimstone. Okay, the third contrast, deceive the nations and to gather them together to battle, will be contrasted in verse 10. Satan just now will gather people, he will be tormented. That's the third contrast. The fourth contrast is that Gog and Magog, verse 8, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea, will be contrasted in verse 9 with the saints, God's people. So it will be lots and lots of people versus God's people, the saints. In King James Version, it's called saints. And went up on the breath of the earth. The breath of the earth will be contrasted with fire came down. The horizontal part versus the vertical part. And the last one, verse 9, earth will be contrasted in with heaven. Okay. So when I have to ask, why did God let loose Satan? I couldn't answer that until I read the text again. It's beautiful way God designed for Satan's defeat and downfall. Now we know that in the Bible, Satan is deceptive. He's destructive and disloyal. But we know the devil is not dominant, okay? God himself is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He's almighty. He's all-consuming. Okay? He is, we say in English, called inscrutable. We cannot understand him. But he is impartial. He's always fair. What happened? The end game. What was God's end game? Verse 10, tormenting the devil day and night, over and over, forever and ever. God's end game was not binding the devil for 1,000 years. That's too easy for him. Some prisons nowadays have air conditioning. Okay, God's end game was not binding the devil, was to torment him day and night, forever and ever. He'll get his Oppenheimer days, okay? And what is God's firepower for the devil? The firepower is fire. He will be roasted barbecue, okay? It'll be K-chicken, okay? Now this is very famous. K-chicken, everything is fried, okay? Nothing is more painful. Nothing is more proven. Nothing is more permanent than fire from heaven coming down and then throwing him into the lake of fire and brimstone. And when I read chapter 20, I get to understand why in the world the devil fights so hard. Do you know why? The end game is not defeating God. The end game is always to pull you and I down with him. Do you know that? It's always like that. That's why I gather so many people to march against the camp of the saints of God. He didn't say march against God. March against the camp of the saints of God. And I kind of understand why. Because the saints will be co-reigning, will be heirs. They will rule, right? After 1,000 years, they will rule. So if I am the devil, which I'm not, just to disclaim that, I think of an idea. I cannot defeat God, but I don't want them to rule, because when the saints rule, it will be final, right? So what should I do in the between? I will attack you guys, so none of you get to rule. Isn't that a beautiful strategy? Would it succeed on you? Most of you don't know, right? But that was strategy. And reading back and forth, I could understand why. That's the reason why we cannot get at him, at God. We're going to get at the people he loves. God's people and sin. And that's why I said, chapter 20 is so beautiful. It's better than any Avengers or Marvel story. You know, you get at the family, right? The family of God. And but God has his own end game. To chain him, not just to chain him, okay? But God's end game is to cast the devil into a lake of fire and brimstone. And if you do, when God did that, does that, he will reunite the devil with the beast, the false prophet, and all their followers. God's end game is even better, right? And for them to be tormented day and night. It's like a fire, it's a place of exclusive, extreme, and everlasting pain and punishment, ache, king and agony, suffering and sorrow. In fact, if you look at the battle, it's not even a battle. They march across the saints, and what happened? It was one-sided. The Lord just rained fire from heaven. It was very short-lived. The release for just a short season. And it was very anticlimactic. Okay, Iron Man did not show up. There's no Captain America. Just fire from heaven to burn them down. I mean, that's a bad ending, right? If you direct, you want to have all the fight scenes. But it's just fire from heaven came down and barbecued them. Okay? So, what kind of ending is it? No shot was fired. Okay? No soldier was lost. And no surrender was demanded. Everybody got roasted. And that's the Lord's end game in chapter 20. But such a beautiful story, okay? And this pain is worse than death and hell. Do you know why? You look at verse 14. Not only will be rain fire and sulfur, death and hell will join the devil. Death and hell will be thrown into. You know how fiery and how heated hell is. It'll lick a fire and brimstone plus hell. Can you imagine how heated it will be for the dragon? Okay. I'm going to see how much time I have. And there, and when the fire came down, it just devoured, okay, eat up the army. Do you know this word devour is from the parable where the birds ate the seeds? Devour. Do you like to see YouTube? I love the animals on YouTube. And one of the things I like to see are birds. You think birds are very cute, but they peck you to death. And one of the favorite videos I see is the birds feeding their children. The birds feed their young birdlings or whatever they call them, like no other thing. And the birds are hungry, little birds are hungry like no other animals. Animals, they don't open their mouth forever. But you see little birds on YouTube, they're always like, they don't stop. Right? And that's what, because the moms have to feed all of them. And sometimes I marvel, they sleep like 24 hours. When the mom comes in, they whole night. That's why the word devour is a good word, because birds eat a lot, like one half of their weight. They eat, and the fire from heaven will devour, okay? And they eat like half of their body weight every day. So that's the devour is a good word, okay? And the devil will be tormented. Tormented is different. Tormented is like this one is eaten up. Like there's nothing left, right? But tormented is like you won't die. You'll be tossed and you'll be turned and you'll be twisted. I just told some of the young people, I get massaged by a blind man every week because I had a stroke. And what does he do is like, he'll chop you on your right, chop you on your left, chop you on the front, stab you at the back, and then they'll hit you on the head, hit you on the bottom. Tormented is like that, but not like enjoying like me, okay? But it'll be like, you'll be forever in pain, okay? And that's what the Lord's end game is for Satan. And that's why no matter how much you blame God now and don't like God for what he does, in the end, you will plod. Because the devil will be thrown tormented day and night, forever and ever. Okay, the last point, we're going to run out of time, is to fear the accountability, not the assembly. One day, we'll all line up before God and we'll be accountable. But it's not the assembly that is scary. It's accountable for what you have done or not done. Okay, let's read verses 11 to 15 together. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Chapter 20 talks a lot about dead and death. Dead 5 times, death 4 times. I don't know what death means to you. Death is my sworn enemy. Okay, 7 years ago, my wife died of breast cancer. And it seems that since last year, I have all this nightmare repeating because my mentor's wife died last year in April, and my best friend's wife died in November last year. And since November last year, I have 3 immediate families facing diseases that lead to death. My mom had COVID and has amnesia and is paralyzed on the bed 24 hours a day, forever and ever. And my sister 2 months ago had kidney failure. So now she's on dialysis 3 times a week. And pray for me because I'm thinking of giving her a kidney next year. And my brother, just like 3 weeks ago, had colon cancer, 4th stage. So this week is my birthday week. I should be happy. But I'll be visiting my brother to cheer him up in Kuala Lumpur. 4 days ago, I attended a funeral of the mother of one of our church co-workers. It was really hard, because my coworker is in left of Vancouver, and he flew back to Hong Kong with his son. And I said the prayer at the mom's funeral. It was very sad and it was very solemn, and reminded me my wife's funeral. But there was a happy story. His quiet father asked him, who remains in Hong Kong, and said, "Can I go with you to Vancouver?" And the son said, "Okay, I'll take you to Vancouver." So the father will stay with the son for 2 months so that he can get the company and the comfort without the wife. Now, back to chapter 20. Do you know why there is hell? In the Bible, you look at Matthew 25:41, write it down. Matthew 25:41, hell is created for the devil and his followers. Now I get it. Hell was created not for us, but for the devil and his followers. And in Protestant thought, okay, it is final destiny of every person who does not receive salvation, and they will be punished for their sins. Now, I hope I have this next chart. No chart? Ah, there you go. Ah, this is what happened. If you want to understand Revelation and what's occurring, and this is how it's written. They always double it. I saw. First time I saw the throne. It's just like a stack. Verse 11, verse 12 with the same word saw. And verse 11 and 12 has the same word throne and throne. And verse 12 and 13 has the same word dead. And verse 13, the sea gave up the dead and Hades gave up the dead. And then verse 13 and 14, you have death and hell. And the other side, verse 14, death and hell. And then we'll be judged, and verse 14, judged. And then verse 14 to 15 will be thrown into the lake of fire. And verse 15 will repeat the word thrown into the lake of fire. I don't know if you guys like literature. It's so beautiful, okay? They'll repeat the same word, and then they go back and then they repeat the next word. Now, what do I want to say about this is that this is written to tell about how strategic, how God in His wisdom has planned all this. Okay, and finally in verse 11, you see the great white throne. Okay, what's the great white throne? All of us one day will stand before the great white throne. A great, it is the white throne. It's the final, the fearful and the future judgment for one's destiny. Why it's called great? Because it's the ultimate throne, okay? It's the unopposed, the utmost throne. Why it's called white? White stands for virtue. White stands for victory. And white stands for our veneration. Why it's called throne? Because throne talks about God's rule, His regime, and His royalty. All of us who co-reign with Him will be in the royalty. Okay, and God will judge everyone and according to their works. What does according to their works mean? Can you go back one frame back? Ah, there you go. Very hard for me to put this into. Okay, but this is where I love my alphabet soup. Okay, God will judge us according if we confess Him the day when we turn around from our sins. God will judge us according to be Christ-like, which is we are transformed into more and more like Him. Christ will judge us according if we have observed His commandments, which is His teaching. Judge us for our character, our testimony to people. God will judge us for our conduct if we are transparent in what we do. God will judge us for our conversations, our talk. Do we hurt others by our talk? And finally, God will judge us for our conscience. Do we hold to the truth? So, chapter 20 is very beautiful because, first of all, it reminds us to fear the Lord Almighty, not to fear the devil, okay? And also to be able to be accountable for what we have done and not be afraid of the attacks. But the more afraid is that one day you'll be found by God to be apathetic, not care one way or the other how you live your life. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just want to come before you. chapter 20 is so beautiful because we have said goodbye to so many people, Lord, but we know one day you will throw death and hell into the lake of fire with Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. And all of us, Lord, and many of all heroes of the faith who have been hated, and all of us who are faithful, Lord, will get to reign with you forever and ever. Lord, that's your game plan, and that's your end game. Praise you forever and ever. Amen.